The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, March 11th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about NHI, National Health Insurance. I, C.A. Nuri, knows nothing about NHI. In fact, I do not have NHI at all because I have private insurance. But there are times you don't have private insurance. And I saw that my employer is having a ask question seminar type thing, and I think it's even today. And I shan't make it because I'm going to be here at Guardian Radio. And they were giving explanation on what is NHI and how to join, what is the benefits, and that. And I say, you know what, this ain't going to work because your time and my time are different times, and I want to know about NHI just in case I have to transition in terms of insurance. So I had to bring somebody in. I had to bring someone quick in, and I started saying, but they was inside the news asking some questions too. So surely they might have some concerns about NHI. So let me morph two of those topics into one. One, I need someone to explain what is NHI. Two, I need to find out why they were in the news raising the alarm about NHI or asking for explanation of NHI. I said, this could be a good show. Bahamians who really do not understand NHI can understand the genesis of it, right? The objective of it, who will benefit from it. And then if I need to go to one of those clinics, those private clinics, and say, man, I have NHI, and I want to know if I need to pay you all some money. And why you all keep on asking, oh, government ain't pay me yet. You know, should I be concerned my private insurance, or I can transition to this NHI thing? Today, we have in studio Dr. D. Archer. You should know her. She had. You still have your program on Guardian Radio?
No, I took a sabbatical.
Yes. She had her own program on Guardian Radio for a while where she talked about medical issues and give consultancy work over the air there some time ago. So, of course, I say, man, this is a good person who's familiar with Guardian Radio and who I could bring on and who could be patient with me because, you know, I can be kind of slow and thick and dense at time. But she is a representative from the Provider for Physician Association. It's a new association.
Yes. So just last year, October, we put in for registration for our organization. We had been a group for probably about a year and a half prior to that. But we found it important in light of the environment of healthcare and our relationship with NHI to formalize that by actually registering an association.
Now, you said it's a new group, a year and a half, but what type of group is it? Who are members of your association?
Right. So the members of the association, as it implies, are both physicians and providers, although we have already had requests from other groupings related to join us. But for now, we are physicians who are considered providers in the NHI program. So what this means is that we're basically providers covers two things, like a provider group, where there's a group of us, we have one company, and we are a provider, right? And then you can have the provider as the individual physician. Because many of us are small entities, right? Mm-hmm. Me and another person.
Is that a small private clinic?
Mostly small private clinics. Now, recently, in the last few years, you've had some larger groups enter, but the majority, the backbone of NHI has been these small physician groups. Two, three doctors.
Let's backtrack. Mm-hmm. NHI was formed several years ago. I know that the government canvassed a number of clinics mm-hmm. and private entities to say, hey, we wanted to create an NHI, a National Health Insurance Scheme, right? So they're big with consultancy, right? So all of you all were called.
Yes.
And you all have put input and said, this is how a national insurance, health insurance will work, should work, and the government created something.
Exactly. So before NHI, before the public would have known, if you go back, really, there was a lot of conversation. I would say that at first the government was kind of moving full steam ahead, but eventually they realized the importance of consultation with the doctors, and they touched on various groups, whether it be the medical association, the council, some of the union groups, smaller physician groups, private physicians. They really tried to service as many people, and I think a diverse grouping of doctors throughout the Bahamas had an opportunity to put their input, because there were some people who wanted to do it like this way and some people who wanted to do it another way. There were persons who were more interested in catastrophic care because the concept all comes under this universal healthcare idea. At the end of the day, the government decided to go with the general consensus that primary care needed to be the foundation of any kind of universal healthcare system. Because if you don't have a good primary care system, you will basically be, you know, tapping money into a black hole when it comes to catastrophic care, right? Because our people are already sick. We have a lot of chronic disease going on in the country. We see the people who have to go to the hospital, who need blood all the time. And we don't always seem to have the resources to facilitate that that way. So how is the government supposed to do this? Well, a good way to include new resources into it was to actually approach the private physicians, because hey, they've already got clinics set up, they have staff, they have resources of their technical skills, they have the efficiency of being a private entity. So why not bring some of that efficiency into almost like a quasi-government public sector, where all the government has to do is kind of
coordinate
a bit. Well, as that's how it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Not how it is.
Well, I think they've forgotten, in a sense, sometimes what the reason for NHI was, which was to give access to primary health care, quality primary health care, relieve some of the burden off the public care system, and get people to understand that health care starts before you're sick. Okay? And so we've had some challenges over the last few years, which is another reason behind why we would.
Before we go to the challenges, because I want to address your challenges now, because like I said, I've seen you all lobbying in the newspaper, so I'm going to get to that. But I still want to appreciate NHI.
Sure.
Now, say I'm sick, Lord, let me knock on wood. Mm-hmm. I have this NHI card, right? I already gone through the process of registering, because I didn't bring the people who does the registering here, so I'm not even going to belabor that point.
Yes.
I already have the card. Right. I'm going to a private clinic, your clinic, right? Yes. I'm going to present this card and say, doctor, I see a sign outside. You say you take NHI. Mm-hmm. I present that to you. How's that system goes? Right. And how come you ain't getting paid? You see how I ended there? And
exactly.
How come you ain't getting paid?
All right. So how the system works is a person registered. And the exciting thing about it is you can choose your facility. You can choose your doctor, right? Sometimes you don't have that ability in the public sphere, but except if you're like family medicine, which is where I came through with the government, where we're very focused, patient-centered and patient-focused. So some of that was brought into this idea of primary care into the NHI system. So you can go and you can choose your facility, you can choose your specific doctor that you want to see if you have a preference. And once you're signed up, which they call an enrollment, then you can go and see that doctor for any primary care services. So the emphasis, though, is more on the preventative aspect, right? So you want people to do their annuals. So we encourage people to come in to the facility. Usually it's by appointment because it is the private sector. We like to keep things a little streamlined. Come in. So you make your appointment. You come in. You can get your physical, and you can even get the blood work related to that physical, all related to the NHI by being enrolled in that system.
And when you say get access to these free? Like I said, I'm not part of NHI, so I'm not sure
so
how
we all
works.
Pay taxes, so nothing is free.
Yeah, right. I know the taxes part.
At the point, right, the actual visit for the annual is usually covered by the NHI, just as if you had insurance. It's like presenting an insurance card. If your insurance says you have a free annual every year, so you can go in there and you can get your free annual, and then certain blood work will be taken care of. So that is an access point to at least get you started in your health journey, right? And then for persons with chronic disease management, you know, if you have diabetes, hypertension, and the doctor say, I need to see you in 4 months, something like that would be covered as well. If you're going into other things in the clinic, you might have to pay for it, but
those basic stuff, the physical.
Basically all the basics to get you in the clinic, kind of blood get work. You well, get you on the right track.
One or two
covered.
Type of tests.
Yes.
Because I see the listing of what's whatever it is. And I don't necessarily have to pay no big amount of money. I wouldn't say no big amount.
Unless you're doing something additional. So if you're just walking in, you're getting your annual, you've made your appointment, you shouldn't have any issue. Just
so everybody should at least apply for NHI and keep it, just in case, even if you don't use it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good program. It allows to have access, especially if they can't get maybe into other places or whatever. And it decentralizes the population. So now you have people, instead of maybe congregating at one central clinic, they can now disperse within the community at different facilities. And I think it lends to a better atmosphere for the patient experience.
I'd look at you go back to work and go to and register, because they're doing the registration to work today. Yeah. I just decided to come and talk to you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I understand that. But there are a number of private clinics who are complaining about delays in payment.
Right.
Right? And I got Central Bahamians, I got to be concerned.
Yes.
Right? What you mean delay in payment? Government is sending you all money.
Yeah. So for about 2 years, there have been some incidences where payments weren't received on time. And I think the doctors were very obliging in just understanding that, you know, there's going to be a few times. I would say prior to that, you know, part of our agreement was to get paid at a certain time so that there wouldn't be issues, right? Because it's crazy to have to be, you know, you're a doctor, you're always thinking about other people and their care, and then you have to be wondering if you're going to get paid. That's kind of, so how the system was originally set up, that there was, you got a payment at the beginning of the month to guarantee, so that you can feel free to see all these patients who will be walking in, and most of them will not be paying anything. However, this has gotten kind of escalated in the last year or so. There have been months in delays. So they're currently behind by about 2.5 months. You know, sometimes you get a partial payment.
2.5 months?
Yes. Mm. Yes, yes, yes. So let's say you're seeing hundreds of patients during the month, and at the end of the month, you're not sure what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, so people are...
A lot of accounts receivable.
Well, you know, you're doing the job, but you're not sure when it's all going to pan out. So that's the problem. So we haven't had a lot of transparency on what is happening, why it's happening. And so that can definitely put you in a headspace of what is happening with the sustainability of the program.
So there needs to be a lobby group amongst physicians, mm-hmm. Private clinics, to lobby to the government to explain these are the frustrations we have having. Have you considered that?
So that's basically why we know that we had to register our association, because we realized that we do need to have a voice that speaks on our behalf. Currently, because there are physicians or other physician groups on the board, there's no direct communication on these specific issues. Even though we've written as groups, as individuals, we've tried to communicate. You know, we do have contracts with NHI, and we have really gone out of our way to ensure that the program continues and people are seen. But there needs to be some kind of communication between the actual physicians who are contracted and some type of consultation on even some of the policies that are coming down that are kind of damaging our stability. Most recently, you know, there was this unilateral decision that came down to create a registration fee. So you were not getting paid, and you want to now charge us to be a part of the very program that we helped to build. And you want to take it out of the money that you haven't even paid us as yet. I mean, it's really kind of like, where are you coming from on this? So we went from a very encouraging relationship where we were, you know, brought in, we're gonna help you be a part of the system, we're gonna give you support, you know, so that you can see the patients and you don't have to worry about anything, to kind of, all right, we're doing these things and you just have to go with it because you're contracted with us, and we don't have to talk to you, we don't have to communicate with you. This is what it's at.
I want to backtrack again because I'm not sure if I'm listening properly or just do not understand, right? If there is an issue between of duplicating efforts, you mentioned a board and you said this board has a number of medical associations like the Bahamas Union or Doctors Union.
Well, no, they're not on the board, but there is a medical association on the board. And
talk with the board. What is this board first?
So the NHI board composes of persons appointed to kind of, oversee NHI, everything like that. It was started, of course, with the original act in 2016. And so there were no providers. There were no physicians. There wasn't anything. This was just something that was written in the law. And so therefore, they had to have some type of structure, which is fine. We're now, almost 10 years in? Mm-hmm. And things have changed. There are over 100 physicians. There are about 60 provider groups. So as things change and as the course of things change, you would think that you would want to keep up that level of conversation or consultation, which you had. And I think that happened for quite a while, but there's been kind of shift in I guess, the way that we experience that.
Perhaps the powers that be said they already have doctors on the board.
Exactly.
Why is it need for have another lobby group, this provider physician association?
Right. Yeah. So if you look at, I would say the closest thing similar to NHI would probably be PHE, which is also a quasi-government system where they're not directly under the government. They govern themselves in a sense. And you would see there are actually two physician groups that lobby or bargain for the doctors there.
At PHA.
Okay. So you'd have the Bahamas Doctors Union, and I think it's a Consultants Physicians Association, something like that. Mm-hmm. So you have like the non-consultant doctors who have had a union for quite a while. They were an association that became a union, similar to how we're doing an association. And they would lobby and bargain for the doctors who are not consultants, mm-hmm. right? The consultants, however, when they didn't really were included in that negotiation, they realized that they needed their own grouping, and so they created a separate grouping, and that exists. And within the PHA, you also have the nurses have their own association. You have the general medical workers who are maybe a mixture of PHA and Ministry of Health staff that all are on in different unions. So you can see that within that one organization, you have four or five bargaining units mm-hmm. or associations that are pretty much lobbying for specific groups within that. So all we're saying is, because sometimes, the nurses can have a different perspective than the doctors.
I understand.
All right? The consultants might have a different perspective than the non-consultant physicians.
I apologize, Dave. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Right.
But just for the listening audience, right. I want to understand what the difference between a consultant and a doctor.
All right, so the most senior position you can get as a doctor is called being a consultant, such as when I was doing the show, I was a consultant at the PHA, mm-hmm. right?
So a senior position, you said.
Yes, it's a senior position. So when you finished, you specialized, you've done enough time, the highest promotion that you can get is the consultant.
Okay.
And you pretty much, you are like, you're in charge of the team, if there's a team, and all of the other physicians would be under you within that team.
Okay,
so the consultants are the senior doctors, and the less senior doctors are grouped together as well.
Does the consultants have like own private practice, or don't necessarily?
Some do. Okay. So a part of one of the benefits of being a consultant is that you work partial hours with the government, and you're allowed to do partial work as private.
Now, see, this is where my political problem again.
Yeah.
Do the consultants clock in and out? Because I know it's a big thing some time ago.
Well, no, because the government doesn't pay overtime.
Okay. So I go back now. The different groupings.
Yes. But that was one of the contentious things with all the physician groups. And the question, because I used to be in the union for the Bahamas Doctors Union at one point, and we had to negotiate, is will you pay overtime? Mm-hmm. And the question is always no.
Okay. So I was asking about nuances, right? Because there's different associations that impact the NHI and the board we're talking about. And you mentioned that there are different groups who represent different groupings in NHI. But now you have your group, the Provider Physician Association. You have yet to be officially recognized. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word, my word, unionized as yet. You're not an entity as yet? You're just a grouping?
Well, we put in to be registered as of last year, October.
Okay.
Yes, October. We finally received a letter from the registrar saying they want us to change the name. We're waiting again to figure out what would be the issue now. You know, so there's been a bit of back and forth. For some reason, I don't know. Within 2 weeks, they're supposed to let you know if you're registered or not. So it's been a while, you know, and this is why we're kind of hoping that they would just let us register our association. Like, we are not to be contentious or anything like that. We would just like to have a voice. I think everyone has the right to choose a voice of their own. And we want to have input in the system that we're working in. And we want it to work. So we are concerned about the sustainability of the program. If, you know, this money that's allocated to the program, where would the money be going if it's not coming to the providers? And so we have these questions that we would really like to have a real conversation about.
Again, talking about nuances, right? What if the government say, but we already have an association that is similar mm-hmm. to yours? What right. makes your association different or unique that right. you believe that you should open up a separate yeah. Entity and then have that entity lobby on behalf of your grouping?
Right. So if you realize, and this is why we mentioned the other groups, right? Because having physicians on the board, even from a particular association, doesn't mean that they can bargain or they can negotiate on your behalf. It just means they have an opinion. Mm. And so that's why all those physician groups had to pretty much come about, because if you're sitting on the board and you're appointed or you're even being paid for the board, you know, it lends a different feel to someone advocating or lobbying for a particular group. We have a very niche area, right? We are doctors who are specifically providing care in the NHI system. To say that a general membership of a physician on the board is adequate to address our needs is kind of dismissing the complexity of what's happening here and the range of how NHI has changed the medical landscape. And what it required to get there was different output from different physicians, and specifically the primary care physicians. So here you have the primary care physicians of the program saying that there are some issues happening here. We want better communication. We want to be at the table, and we want to help to even solve some of these issues. Just communicate with us. And you're being told, well, there's a physician on the board, or there are physicians on the board.
Already, yeah. But you mentioned better communication, and you see you've been joined by your colleague. And I don't want it to mm-hmm. seem like it's Dr. D. Archer
yes.
have an issue, because she knows she's political. Right, so she's coming now with her agenda to
benefit
herself.
But I have no politics in this.
Okay, to benefit her own clinic. There are different doctors who are involved. A number of doctors who are involved in your association, and one of those doctors is here now. And Dr. Archer mentioned she wants better communication. Not she, her entity. The entity wants better communication with the government, better communication with NHI. And I wanted to have some of your commentary on that. What you mean by better communication?
Introduce yourself.
Good day. I'm Dr. Lomar Monroe. Good day, CA. Good day, Bahamas. How are you guys doing? So better communication. It's a broad topic, but really and truly have our voices heard. We would like Dr. Archer said, some input into what is going on with NHIA. We want to see it succeed. That's the first and foremost thing. We want to see it succeed. I enjoy seeing my patients. But I don't want to have the stress of how am I going to pay my bills at the end of the day looming over me when I go see my patients. If you tell me, okay, Dr. Monroe, we won't be able to pay you for another 2 weeks, and we will consistently pay you every 2 weeks until we're caught up. Great. I would love that. That would mean I don't have to worry about anything, or I don't have to worry about getting paid, and I can continue to see my patients. They can continue to see me happy, cheerful, and joyful, doing what it is that I like to do, seeing patients, making sure they're getting healthy. But yeah, that's one of the main things, and the fact that they are not allowing us to form this association, that's an even bigger problem to me. That's almost like it's stamping on my constitutional rights. I should be allowed to associate.
I think it's a matter of time. But I was like, I was probing with Dr. Archer before. Perhaps they think there is already a representative there already. Why y'all want to create a separate space, carve out a separate entity, and then there's someone there already, so representing doctors.
So let me ask you this here: you're not a journalist, right?
No.
If you were told that you and other people like you that work at this station do not have a voice in what's going on in the station, how it's managed, how you guys get paid and all that stuff, general stuff that affects you, you guys said, all right, let's get together and let's say, hey, we just want you guys to listen to some of our concerns and, you know, take it under consideration.
That sounds easy.
Yeah, I think so too.
And that's all what you're lobbying for?
Basically,
that's the start.
And nobody answered y'all yet to say, well, come.
Well, the answer is always there is a physician representative on the board, but you appointed that person. You decided who you would represent us. You didn't ask us any questions. Like I said, there were no providers at the time. So, yes, you had to have a structure of everything. But at the end of the day, when all things aren't the way that we agreed to, then we need to have some type of conversation.
Not only that, the physician that sits on that board is only one vote as to what goes on in that space.
A big space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So even if they are fighting for us, that's one vote versus another 9 votes that say, nah, we won't do this. That one physician is outvoted.
Yeah.
You mentioned
that. So it's not to replace. We're not trying to replace that organization's, because, that's their thing. What we're saying is there needs to be a space to speak directly with the physicians who are directly involved in the program. And why isn't that space there?
Remind my listening audience who all makes up this board, please. I mean, for your best of your ability.
I don't know if you want to go into that.
Just so I can understand where you want to fit in, because you wanted them to make space. But I want to know
if we get to the board level at some point, that's fine.
Oh, so you're not lobbying for that right now?
What we're really lobbying for is to be able to speak for ourselves and bargain for ourselves.
That's simply enough.
Okay, so it's a very top-down approach at the moment. And when we say, well, where did this come from? Or why are we doing this particular thing? Or it doesn't fit into what we agreed to. There's almost silence, all right? And so at some point, you have to wonder what's happening. Now, a lot of doctors have really integrated their practice into the NHS. They put a lot to make
this, space and room and accommodate.
For this to work. So they put in the time, the effort, the resources, because people don't know we have to qualify for NHI, we have to go through a more rigorous program than if you just open in a clinic normally.
Explain that
okay?
to me so I can appreciate.
NHI has their own procedure of deciding who joins, what inspections have to be done. You have higher requirements of certain things. So, we've gone through all of this process. We put in all this time and resources and staffing and, everything. So you put a lot in. You don't want to just walk away. And you have patients who are relying on you, who don't want you to go away, who need you, who don't have insurance. A lot, most of this is people who don't have any other form of insurance. So as a physician, and this is what holds us in place and almost works to our disadvantage, we tend to always think about the patient and their needs first. Mm. However, we do have staff to pay, we have electricity bills to pay, and we just want to be treated with respect and the dignity of our post and our relationship, which started as a partnership, And I don't think what we're asking for is very difficult. I don't know why there's been a contention to that, because we're just asking for fair and equitable a fair and equitable space.
So for my listening audience, benefit again. I go to Dr. Munro also to explain this. You saw the patient, right? The patient presented their card. The procedure, the physical is over. I want you to walk me through the process of you sending in the bill and what technically.
So I think we're both going to jump on this, but let me just say, this is one of the things, and this is why we wanted to do a kind of community education, because doctors don't send in a bill.
Don't send in a bill? I can get you money if you send no bill in.
We don't send in a bill. NHI tells us what they're going to pay us. There's what we call a fee schedule or a capitation where they have a small amount. So the thing about it is we've taken a very small payment because the idea is it's going to be spread over a larger grouping of people. All right? So it's like group insurance. If you were to approach the insurer, they would tell you, CA, you got to pay $5,000 a month. But if you have a group, it might be $500. We take even less than that, right? So we take a very small capitation payment, and then they cut that into 12 pieces, Nuri. They cut that into 12 pieces. So you're talking anywhere from $70 to a couple hundred dollars, and they cut that in 12 pieces, and they pay you piece by piece by piece for each person that's enrolled with you. So you have to understand that you're getting the couple dollars piece by piece, and then they're not paying you. Okay? So this idea that, you know, we're putting it, we don't have that kind of power in the system. And they tell you who's on your list. And they tell you, even now, one of the issues that we're fighting for is this idea that because the capitation is cut into these 12 small pieces month by month, it's supposed to start from the minute the patient enrolls in the program. All out of the blue, we're told we're not doing that anymore. Okay? Someone is sitting on your list and you have to wait until they come in and be seen before those little bit. Now, I tell you, the only way the payment makes sense is if you get all the payments, because it's already cut into small little pieces. So now that you're not getting it at enrollment, you're actually seeing patients for free.
Man, this gets complicated.
And it is.
I don't understand.
Yeah, so it's a capitation model. Basically, like Dr. Archer is saying, we are giving our healthcare at a discounted rate to make this whole thing work. Like she said, let's just say for instance, you do an annual physical that costs you $100. Mm-hmm. That annual physical under NHIA is going to cost you, let's say, $75. We're taking a cut, 25% roughly. Mm-hmm. And like she said again, that $75 is split up between the 12 months of the year.
That's right.
So basically every time or every month I'll get paid, I don't know. I didn't do the math beforehand. But
$6 or $7.
Yeah, $6 or $7 per male. That's just a male. Or maybe a little bit less for males. I think it's a little bit more for females. And as you get older as a female, it increases a little bit. But at the end of the day, you're getting a small amount for every month, every patient. That the whole idea of having a panel of a certain size would have made up for the fact that you're taking a cut on each patient. So you get a sizable amount or a decent amount of money for those patients that you take care of. Now, like she said, this unilateral idea of capitation for the patient begins at their first visit as opposed to what it was in our contract at their first enrollment is a big deal now, because now you have this patient on your panel. Every month you see them on your panel, you're expecting to be given
compensated for that.
The $5, you're supposed to be compensated for it. They say, nope, not going to happen until they come in to see you.
Right.
But if you don't have any reason to see me, why are you coming to see me?
Right. And so even if you do come to see me, you're not paid for that time. You have to now hope and pray that whoever is doing the capitation list now switches that person over onto the list where you get your $5. Right? Which is something now that has made administrative mess for us, because we are now having to figure out how to track who's on the list, who's not on the list, when they enroll, when they came in the office, when that payment may start, and somehow understand that while that information, which used to be to us, is now somewhere in some portal somewhere that we have to go in.
Sound cumbersome. I have a text for you personally, Dr. Archer. Says, good morning, CA. Dr. Archer is one of the best doctors in the world. She not only cares about us, she also helps us with get your health in order and not meds. I love Dr. Archer with all my heart. Her favorite patient, Mr. A. Stubbs. I mean, I guess you want me to read that. Mr. A. Stubbs, keep up the great work. And to the powers that be, pay them as soon as possible. So at least he lobbied for you to get paid.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stubbs. Thank you so much. Okay. And this is where it is. We really, I would say, go above and beyond most of the doctors that I know. Now, I know some people may say they don't always have great experiences, but I would say, and even the government's own strategic plan says the number one product in this in New Providence for healthcare is the NHI, because people choose their doctors, so they have great relationships with them. It's a part of the concept of continuous care, where you can see the same person, they understand your history, they understand the nuances of your life, and you're able to care for that person as if they are your family.
I'm trying to also appreciate the traffic of NHI patients. Since you've joined, Mr. Munro, the NHI system, most of your patients NHI related, or are they still private people who walk in and pay you, or you have, say, a significant amount of NHI patients now who are registered underneath you, and you see them on whatever schedule that you see them?
So initially, when I started private practice, majority of patients were paying patients. And they came from lesser means. So yeah. I would always tell them, look, the government has set this thing up. I back it. I'm in it. Get involved. Mm-hmm. So as my practice grew, it proportionally grew with people signing up with NHIA.
So they stopped paying and said, my part of NHI now. NHI now, I don't have to pay initially.
Exactly. So I would say anywhere between 75% and 85% of my patients that I see on a
You too, Dr. Archer?
It's quite a bit for me as well. I do a bit more because I am a concierge doctor, so I have like kind of two things going on in my practice. But you'll find for a lot of doctors, especially the ones that have been involved from the very beginning, it is the majority of their practice. The purpose of NHI was to give access to people. So maybe someone would scrape a few dollars to see Dr. Munro, but was not able to keep up with their maybe quarterly appointments because of finances. Mm-hmm. So the point was to now give them access to, hey, you know, you can do your annual every year. If you have a chronic disease, you can actually go to the doctor and ensure that you're okay. And that was really a blessing, you know, that's the way that it was structured. So what you found is that a lot of the landscape, there's over 150,000 people that are enrolled in this program. So this affects 150,000 plus Bahamians. It's been quietly going on, you know, because we don't make a ruckus, right? We just been doing our job and seeing our patients. But for not to have the sustainability means that 150,000 people would be flooded back into the public healthcare system. Mm. Okay? So there is a need and a priority, and I'm not sure why it's not being made a priority, to ensure that the program is working functionally. Now, the issue that we also have is the fact that if you're not coming to the table with us and you're not paying us and we have all these things and stuff, what are you doing? And why are you even on a sense, you're expanding right in front of our eyes. That's like the guy who owes you $100. He is saying to you, man, I don't know what I can do. I don't have this $100 for you. Put a pool in my house. I just bought a second property and that Benz is mine. So you're expanding. Mm-hmm. You're adding new providers. You're going to different places. You're setting up new and
making announcements. I'll be doing this.
And making announcements.
But you ain't getting paid.
And you're basically the backbone of the system, the people who have been there to make this system work. You don't want to talk to them.
I have this text for you again, Dr. Archer. Say, Mr. Nuri, please ask Dr. Archer if there's a quota on the amount of patients that a doctor can accommodate as an NHI patient as a whole.
Yes, so there is a max amount. So not only are we required to just kind of sign up and have a quota, they actually allocate a time to this. So someone can only allocate up to 42 hours. So that's why you find that a lot of the physicians, they are who have been doing it for a while, they may be full, what we call full or maxed out. Because at a certain point, you're not allowed any other additional patients. You have to choose another physician. And this is so that, you know, you don't have a burnout and space, because doctors already work a lot of hours. They tend to probably even go over the hours they have. So we don't really have an issue so much with the quota. We just want what we agreed to be fulfilled. So you'll have some doctors who are what we call part-time. Like, I'm one of the main spokespersons, but I don't even have a full panel, right? I do a partial panel for NHI, and I have hours outside of NHI. But a lot of physicians, they have committed to the full panel, and so this may be up to 2,000 patients. So if you're there seeing 2,000 patients and you don't know when you're going to get the next dollar.
Dr. Munro, 85% of his patients is NHI, and if they're on time, how are you going to pay your nurse?
Exactly. His nurse, his staff, his electricity bill.
I don't envy you, doctor.
He might have rent or mortgage on his building. Yeah. And guess what? Dr. Munro got to survive.
Yeah.
Dr. Munro has to take care of his family.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to doctors, Dr. Archer and Dr. Munro. They are represented from Provider Physician Association. They have made application to the powers that be to be recognized. There's a delay. I'm trying to understand why there's a delay, because what they're asking for is simple to me. I mean, just give it to them so they can lobby and speak on behalf of the other membership. And they have a number of doctors who are in their association who are also waiting. But we're going to continue this conversation. I talked a little bit about the NHI. We're talking a little bit about this Provider Physician Association and what's the conflict. And the conflict right now seems to be communication. You can talk about the communication or lack thereof when we come back.
Bulla boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Thank you. And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we're talking to Dr. Arch Monroe. They are representative from the Provider Physician Association. They had one or two issues that they want to bring to the fore. I'm giving them space to do that. Dr. Monroe just came in recently, and I'm going to ask him, what are the issues? Because Dr. Arch went in detail. Joining now, what are the issues you are finding that you are having?
Well, my first issue would be that I'm a Bahamian. And I would like to associate. I think my constitution gives me that right to do so. I would like to associate with other NHIA physicians. And from October of last year, we've been getting pushback from the registrar, saying that various issues. The name isn't appropriate, so we changed the name. Certain things about our constitution they didn't like, so we tried to work that out. But as of now, 2025 October to March 2026, we still have not received any communication that says, all right, you guys are an association, have your fun. That would be one of my main issues. My next issue, like I guess, but anybody who is on the NHIA provider list, the timeliness of payments and the unilateral changes to our contractual agreement. You guys said you're going to pay us in a timely manner on a monthly, periodic monthly basis, and it hasn't happened. We are now 2.5 months behind. I am almost certain that other providers that are not physicians, so the labs, they also have some issues with...
They're 3 months behind.
Oh, they're 3 months behind. So I thought I had it bad, but I guess somebody always has it worse. So it is not conducive to business for me to have 2 months of accounts receivable, as you guys would say, and still have to trudge on and do the business. Because at some point in time, it isn't sustainable. I was telling somebody a few days ago, altruism at some point in time can hurt you. And I think we're getting to that point with the physicians. We are really pushing and really trying to make this thing work, but there's only so much we could do. And I guess I could quote Dolly Parton, love isn't free. No, it isn't free. No matter what you say, somebody has to pay for love. The love that we are giving our patients, somebody has to pay for it. I don't think it's fair that we have to pay for it because now they're asking for us to have registration fees. You have to register to be a part of the program, and now you also have to pay into the program to be a part of the program.
Are you talking like $5, $10?
No.
We're talking about hundreds of dollars to provide the care that we're giving at a discounted rate. We're talking about monthly fees for a program that was instituted by the NHI, made mandatory, is used to audit us and micromanage us. But we are going to have to pay for it monthly. It's like you make a suggestion, you set it up, and then you turn around, and once I'm dependent on it, you say, now, well, you got to pay me for it. That doesn't sound...
So it sounds like you have to pay to play, or have to pay to treat a patient.
Yes, so, I was just about to say that. You have to pay to play.
And it's sad, because what does that do to the small physician groups, which most of, and this is why we're getting together, most of the groups that are part of our association are the small physician groups. What does that do to them when not receiving the funds to even function? And those funds, and now you're saying you're not even going to give me my money. You want to deduct it. You've decided that you're going to create these fees out of nowhere.
How are they going to collect their money? You're going to, like, the end of the month, beginning of the year, they said, okay, by the way, these are what you owe us, or these are the fees and taxes for them.
Yeah, you just get an email. Hey, by the way, you're gonna have these fees.
Or this, I was trying to ask if they deducted it from the monies they owe
you.
We
didn't get no money yet. You gotta get the money first.
That's exactly what they're doing. They are deducting it from.
You know,
so you might never get the money then.
Yes.
So the money you banking on already been cut up in pieces.
Oh yeah. Gosh, I don't envy you. And I always want to be a doctor now, but I can stay in tourism and all my money one time.
And this is the thing, Nuri, right? We've studied for so long. We've done all of this to be doctors so that we could serve the community. We're not asking for anything extra right now, even though NHI hasn't had an improved interpretation fee for since its inception. You know, it's the same few dollars that Monroe has been talking about that's been going on with no increase. So, and we've been working with that. And to get this type of result or the way that we're being treated, it's almost like a slap in the face. Mm. And I'm trying to think what they'd want to do to the morale of the physician.
Let me ask you this. Who are you waiting, which entity are you waiting to receive a response from your entity? Who is, where the delay is?
So the registrar has to kind of sign off. Just waiting for a signature.
Registrar, who's registered companies and businesses? That's what,
and
okay.
Unions, okay. Yeah. So, and unions. They just have to stamp off and say, okay, because there's nothing really wrong with our constitution. They asked us to take NHI out of the name of the group. We took that out of the name of the group. That should have satisfied the requirements. But we're now there's this idea that I can't even mention the... Well, we're a group of doctors that work in the NHI. It's mm-hmm. going to be mentioned somewhere in the mm-hmm. document. Mm-hmm. To ask that it be completely removed from the document is unprecedented. So what is the holdup? Why isn't it done? You have foreign entities that come in this country. There are laws that if they don't get a result in 2 weeks, they automatically get whatever they need. Yeah. But as Bahamian citizens with a constitutional right to associate, we are being given the runaround.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't even know what to say in response to that. But I see what the issue is. And you're waiting now for a response from the registrar. And you just have to wait.
If you can wait and not be tired of waiting is what I was told when I was growing up.
I mean, I'm tired of waiting. I mean, I'm not even involved in your program. And I'm tired of waiting. I want to know why it's taken so long to yeah. be recognized.
And it's kind of sad that, you know, we don't know why it seems to be so contentious that physicians want to just speak for themselves. You know, we've laid out to you what we want. We don't think it's anything that's untoward. It's just basics.
Okay. 30 seconds each of you because we're about to go call. I won't be able to receive your call. We're about to leave right now. Recommendations to NHI. Quick, any kind of recommendations?
I'll go first. Physicians and other providers don't want to pay to play. This is not precedented anywhere else in the world. No other national health insurance scheme does that. And I don't think that is the way forward for our scheme. So that would be my spiel.
Right. So with him, we want to emphasize that we have no intentions or would not like to have to go that round of having to pay to be a part of it. It affects the small providers who have put their heart, their soul, and their resources into this, and that should be put on hold. We want to have a direct conversation with us and respect the physicians who are part of the program enough to know that they should be a part of the conversation. They should be consulted before major policy changes are made, especially when it affects the way we treat our patients, how we treat our patients, and how we are being paid. That is only the respect that's due to us. We're willing to come to the table, and we also have recommendations on how to make NHI more sustainable for Bahamians.
And Dr. Monroe, your fans are there too. This one says, good morning. Dr. Monroe is a very caring physician. Dr. Monroe assisted myself when I had a healthcare challenge. Thank you very much, Dr. Monroe, and blessings. See, all of y'all are good doctors that they people are listening and reaching out. And let me to give a shout out to make sure you know that you're appreciated. And it's good to know that even in your busy schedules, your patients appreciate you. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Of course, I had guests, Dr. D. Archer and Dr. Monroe. What's your first name?
Lomar Monroe.
Lomar Monroe with me. And they said, close my box, all my notes closed. What's your association name again, Dr. Archer?
The Provider Physicians Association.
Yes. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.